Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, there's a story told of a hermit, and during his travels, he stumbled upon a cave that was filled with hidden treasure. And this hermit, being an old and wise man, realized that he discovered, immediately turned around and ran in the opposite direction as fast as he could. And as he ran away, he came across three thugs or highwaymen, and they asked him, what was he running from? The hermit said, I'm fleeing from the devil. Out of curiosity, they asked him, well, show us. So protesting all the way, the man took the three thugs back to the cave where he found this treasure, and he says, here is death, which is running after me. The thugs couldn't believe their good fortune. Thinking the man was just a little bit off his rocker, sent him away. And as they reveled in the wealth that they had now discovered, they decided that one of them must go back to town to buy food for the journey ahead, while the other two prepared the treasure for travel. And as the one went away, he volunteered to go away to get food, he decided, what I'm going to do is I'm going to poison the food that I'll give to them, so when I come back, they'll eat it, and all the money will be mine. Well, as he was gone, the two that stayed to prepare the treasure thought amongst themselves, when he comes back, we'll kill him, and then we can divide the treasure just between the two of them. And when he came back, their plan worked, they killed him, and then they sat down to enjoy their meal. And as they ate, their meal of celebration became their last supper, and the poison took their lives, and the treasure remained exactly where they had found it. One theologian defined greed as this: an obsession to hoard all things to oneself, blocking out any thought of God and for one's neighbor. The dictionary defines hoarding as this, or greed as this: an overwhelming urge to have more of something, usually more than we really need. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is teaching his disciples a lesson about hoarding, about coveting. He says this, be careful and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Greed. Greed is a terrible thing. In fact, if you look through Scripture, Jesus defines greed as that thing that makes us unclean. For example, in Mark it says these words, for from within, out of a man's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lawlessness, or lewdness, excuse me, envy, slander, arrogance, folly, you get all that. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Paul wrote to the church at Rome these words, godless and wicked men have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. And finally, in Ephesians 5, it says this, among you there must not be even the hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. As you read through God's Word, you'll discover very quickly that greed rates in the top 10 of every sin-filled list in Scripture. Greed, that desire to have more than God intended for us to have. Which brings us to the gospel lesson for this morning. As Jesus is teaching to the crowd in this new location, a man comes up to him with a simple request. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. It seems like an odd request because he's a teacher. He's not like a judge or arbiter, and that's exactly what Jesus says. Who appointed me to be a judge or arbiter or a divider? But in those days, one theologian says, it was not uncommon for people of Palestine to take their unsettled disputes to a respected rabbi. So it wasn't unusual, but the request pointed out something that Jesus really wanted to hit upon. The idea of people being greedy. Because the problem was there was an inheritance that needed to be split, and there's some lessons that we need to learn. Number one, that both of the brothers, and most generally, no one who receives an inheritance has done anything to earn it. And inheritance really deals with, I've been born into this family and I kind of receive it as part of being a part of the family. I haven't worked for it. I don't deserve it. I simply receive it. Second of all, the brothers were willing to sacrifice their relationship with one another over an inheritance. And then lastly, I think we'll discover that they put their trust in their inheritance or riches rather than God Himself. In my former parish, I ministered to an agricultural community. And so whenever you're in agriculture and property changes hands, farmland's expensive if you didn't know that. Thousands of dollars an acre can be spent to buy property. And so the passing along property is kind of a big deal. And in one particular case, the younger brother had stayed home with his mom and dad as his father died of one illness, his mother died of cancer. He had kind of forsaken himself for the sake of providing for his mom and dad. And when it came time for the inheritance, mom and dad had entrusted the bulk of the agricultural land to the youngest son. You can about imagine the reaction of his older brothers and sisters. In fact, there were some tempers that flared, arguments that ensued, and relationships that were shattered. And the irony of it all is they were all Christians. There's an old saying that says, where there's a will, there's a war. And then Jesus told a little parable about a successful farmer to describe what greed actually looks like. He says, this farmer had planted his field, and his harvest had been so plentiful, more than he could have ever expected. And all this began to rule in, but he discovered that his barn wasn't big enough, and so he decided to himself that he has plenty, so I'm going to tear down my barn and I'm going to build bigger barns. And then he kind of reasoned this. You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. What's wrong with that? It sounds like a great retirement plan. I mean, after all, who of us doesn't want to save for our retirement? Who of us doesn't want to kind of be able to relax and to do the things that we want to do after our years of labor are over? Who among us doesn't want to be well provided for? It seems exactly that's what this man was thinking. But the reality was, over time you realize that money isn't everything. There was a man that once said, all I ask is for the chance to prove that money can't make me happy. What was wrong with it? Well, first of all, the men thought only of themselves. If you go through the Greek, the original Greek, there's 54 words total, and 18 of them are the first person pronoun, which is the words me, my, it's all about me, it's personal. He says these words, I will say to my soul, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, drink, eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus didn't condemn the man for being wealthy. That wasn't the problem. Jesus condemned the man because he wasn't rich towards God. And God said, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Not rich toward God. What exactly does that mean? It meant that a rich, wealthy person, they tend to cut God completely out of the picture. Think about it. If you had all the money if you had enough money to go buy a brand new car off the car lot, perhaps pay for a house in full, you have enough money to buy whatever you want, whenever you want, you kind of get to the point where, why do I need him? Because I can literally provide for everything that I need for this body and life. Why do I need to put my trust in Him? I found it interesting that the writer of Proverbs says these words. It's more a prayer. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. In other words, God, just give me enough to provide for my needs of this body and life. God's not against those who are wealthy. If you look throughout Scripture, there are many people that are wealthy. Abraham, he was blessed with many flocks of sheep and herds of cattle. Jacob, same way. Sheep, cattle, camels, servants, all those things. King David was a very wealthy king. Just look how much money he laid aside for the building of the temple with all of its gold and all of its furnishings. David was wealthy, but not nearly as wealthy as his son Solomon. In fact, Scripture says of Solomon, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. These wealthy men were not condemned. Why? Because each of them was rich toward God. They put more trust in Him than they did in their fortune and their possessions. You see, Jesus doesn't condemn people for being wealthy. He condemns them for being greedy. Someone once asked a wealthy person, what would it take to make him happy? You know what his answer was? Just one more dollar. Just one more. Greed is the belief that if I could only have enough money, then I will have enough security. I'll feel comfortable. Greed creates in us, allows us to worry in our life. Greed makes us wonder whether God really truly provides for us. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or your body, what you will wear. Who are you by worrying will add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Do you ever worry? Do you ever get to the point where you're like tied up in knots over worrying about things provided for you? I got to be honest, there's times I go to a voters assembly and I hear a lot of worry from all of us. We often wonder, will God provide for our congregation? And you do that at home whenever you try to balance your budget, especially when you're on a fixed income, to try to get the ends to come together. You always have these doubts, these worries that'll spring up and make you question whether, will God provide or will He not? Everyone worries. But not all worry is sin. See, the fact of the matter is that we're all greedy and we're taught to be greedy from our very childhood. You remember the game called the Game of Life? It had that big round spinner dilly whopper. It had the road that led through it. And you got your little car and you took your car down as you did your spins and you collected your cards and you got to put kids in there, pink and blue, depending on what sex they are. It was great. And then you get to the end and you get to cash it all out. Well, SpongeBob SquarePants, if you don't know that, don't worry, it's a cartoon, come up with a new Game of Life. And a pastor once gave it to his daughter for her Christmas present when she was 7. And when they were playing the game, his daughter Tabitha thought the goal of the game was to get to the end the fastest. And so she scooted right through the game to get to the end. And then her dad read the instructions that said this. It literally says this. At the end of the game, the winner is the person with the greatest net worth. Not the person who crosses the finish line first. Not the person who helped the most people. Not the person who gave the most away. The winner is the person who accumulates the most wealth. It's a kid's game. And that's what we teach our children. It kind of says the man who dies with the most toys wins. But the reality is, he dies. What is Jesus trying to teach us today? I think point number one is that sin or greed is sin. In fact, God's word calls greed idolatry, where you put the things, the possessions you have over your fear, love, and trust in God. Secondly, I believe it teaches that greed blocks our relationship with God. It literally pushes Him out of our lives to say, I don't need Him because I can accumulate this all on our own, all on my own. And lastly, I believe that greed causes us to worry. It isn't to say that all people who worry are greedy, but when you and I allow greed to control our lives, we become dominated by that sense of, does God really care for me? So it means if I cheat a little bit, or if I lie a little bit, Or if I fudge a little bit, I'll do it so I can get ahead. That's the world in which we live in. So if I have to go to Jesus himself to try to pry some more money away from my brother who's entitled to more than me, I'll do it. I'll destroy my relationship with him because I'm simply greedy. You may look at yourself today and say, you know, Pastor, this sermon completely missed the mark. Because I don't believe I'm greedy at all. But in the end, isn't greed really, doesn't it really create doubt in our lives? Doesn't it really create pride in our lives when God blesses us with more than we actually need? Jesus ultimately gives us a solution to the problem. And it literally comes down to faith. The cure to greed is for us to realize it's all about God supplying all of our needs of this body and life. With that said, I love to quote Luther on this, because in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, his explanation says this: I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. In other words, he created me physically, but he wasn't done. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards me and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of folly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this it is my duty to thank and pray, serve and obey him. And he concludes with, this is most certainly true. God literally gives us everything. Jesus once said these words, consider the lilies that grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And then in Luke he says these words, but seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Greed deals with fear that God is unable to provide for me. And greed also deals with pride that I can provide for myself. But the answer to it all is really found in Jesus. Think about it for a moment. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning Jesus, for I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Do you realize how wealthy you are this morning? I'm not talking about the balance in your retirement fund. I'm not talking about your checking or savings balance. I'm not even talking about with your real estate holdings or anything like that. I'm talking about how wealthy you are in Christ. You see, the Creator of heaven and earth has given you the gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ. And through him, there's not only forgiveness of sins, but there's also life and salvation. And the means of grace that God gives you through Jesus are more valuable than anyone could ever imagine. The simple words of absolution that I forgive you all of your sins are powerful words. Or remembrance of your baptism, that through water and word, God has recreated me, ushered me into his own family. And because I'm a part of his family, he gives me an inheritance of eternal life in heaven through faith in Jesus. In a few moments, you'll kneel before the altar or stand before this altar and receive upon your lips the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. That makes you wealthier, far more wealthier than you can ever imagine. Greedy? No. Forgiven? Yes. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.